With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben. Ho ho ho, Merry Christmas one and all. Not quite, what are we doing next week, James, for Christmas? When is Christmas? Is it Wednesday?
Christmas is a Wednesday, so
I
don't know what's happening with recording
yet. What are we going to do then? my head hurts. We should record on Christmas Eve, shouldn't we? On the Monday? Do you want to record on the Monday next week?
Get out. Yeah, I can do. Trying to think now. I'll finish at 4 o'clock, so yeah, I can get it.
Let's do it on the Monday. Is that Christmas? That's not Christmas Eve. That's the 23rd, isn't it? Right, okay. Right, so...
I'm off Sunday, though, if it helps.
Maybe. Anyway, so this isn't our Christmas special. That's going to be next week when the show's out on Christmas Day. Boom. Let's do it. I'm up for that. Right, so coming up on this week's show, which isn't festive anymore, we've got Thomas Feeney coming on later for a full fixture preview for this weekend's matches on the 22nd of December. We're also going to be hearing from some of the managers who picked up some great results over the past week. We've got Richard Thomas coming on from Grantham, Steve Burr at Stafford, Paul Phillips at Buxton. We're going to get the Freck on, aren't we? Dave Frecklinton's coming on. Carl McCauley will get on as well. And we'll also be hearing from the league leaders, Dave Cook at Nantwich Town. But before we get to league matters, James Hayes, who joins us on the other end of the phone. Hello, James. I'm waving.
How are you doing, Ben?
Hello.
How are you doing, Ben? Hello.
Let's talk about Rammy. Ramsbottom United against Workington. 0-0 on Saturday. Always actually going to be tougher, I think, for Workington in the replay on Tuesday night back in Lancashire. And Ramsbottom United, what a result, 2-0 through to the second round of the FA Trophy, James.
Fantastic effort there from Ramsbottom. First of all, to bring it back to the Harry Williams Stadium. But not only that, I've completely run away with a game by the sounds of it until, obviously, the horrific injury had been out Rodley during the game as well, which delayed the match by about 35 minutes. By the sounds of it, he's a really nasty incident, and I wish him all the best, especially this time of year as well. Back to the game, Ramsbottom United just completely did the job that they did, and one of two set four teams left in the competition now as well.
Just to echo what you said there, James, a big get well soon to Niall Rodney. Hope you make a speedy recovery. When it comes to Workington, just to say, on Wednesday, Dave Hewson, one of the joint managers at Workington, stepped down from his management position at the club. So we wish Dave all the best for the future. We'll have more on that as we get it in the coming week. But congratulations to Ramsbottom through to the next round, where they'll take on Weymouth at home. That's taking place in January, is it, or February?
January the 12th.
So we'll have more on that in the coming weeks. But it didn't go all our way in the FA Trophy at the weekend, but there were some cracking efforts. Firstly, Chesterfield 5, Basford United 1. Didn't go the way of Basford. It was always going to be a very, very tough encounter, that one, especially as Chesterfield in the game before broke that. How many draws did they get? About 16 draws on the trot or something silly in the league.
Something silly like that, yeah.
But by all accounts, Basford United, both on and off the pitch, did themselves very, very proud on Saturday.
Indeed, it was going to be a tough ask. And I'm just looking at the goal scorers list there.
Yeah.
A proper little non-league NPL game out with Lee Shaw, Tom Denton and Nathan Smith. All of them played in the league 2 years ago.
It's one of those things, but I'm not going to dwell on it too much because Basford have got they want to focus on the league now, I'm assuming. But commiserations to Basford United. Also, commiserations to Lancaster City going down by 3-0. You mentioned goal scorers from NPL yesteryear. Daniel Maguire and Michael Liddell there getting goals for Blyth Spartans in that 3-0 win against Lancaster City. But commiserations to Lancaster, but a very, very good run there in the FA Trophy. And speaking of going out, but unfortunately going out, what a performance. Telford United 4, Farsley Celtic 3. Farsley Celtic just wouldn't go away in that game. And we mentioned it last week about Telford United. They're not full-time, they're not professional, but they train more than twice a week. They're a top-notch outfit this season, Telford United. And Farsley just kept chipping away at them and unfortunately couldn't see it over the line to a replay. But a good effort for Adam Laitland's side there.
Yeah, and again, Jack Dyche, I think he was called man of the match and rightly so from reading reports.
More on Fazer Celtic in the league shortly, as you know, we'll be joined by Thomas Feeney, and he knows Fazer Celtic very, very well with his Yorkshire non-league connections and that kind of thing. But Farsley are in out the FA Trophy, but a lot to look forward to, it looks like, for 2019. But that's the FA Trophy. More on the Ramsbottom game in the new year with Weymouth. But let's talk about some of the league results from this past weekend. And we are going to be hearing from some of the managers involved. Nantwich Town head into this weekend top of the league. And I think they're probably going to be Christmas number one. I don't think they can be caught, can they, by Scarborough past this weekend. They're 6 points clear up at the top. Nantwich Town, their latest result, beating Hyde United at Ewan Fields by 2-1. A great result. We'll get James' thoughts in a second. But on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at League Leaders Nantwich Town. Here's Dave Cook. So, Dave, a big thank you for joining us. Number one at Christmas, how does that feel?
Yeah, good. It'd feel a lot better if it was number one at the end of April, but there we go.
Absolutely. Well, let's before we get to how you're shaping up heading into the festive period, let's go back to last Saturday. A great result at Ewan Fields. Hyde United, always difficult at home, and you overcame them by 2-1. You must have been dead pleased with that result.
Yeah, I mean, look, the conditions were horrendous, I think, all over the country, and it was no different there. But we actually played very well, and I think we deserve to win the game, possibly by another goal or two, but we take 2-1 all day long.
Now, heading into the festive period then, when we've spoken in the past, you've been very calm, very measured, not getting too carried away or anything like that. I mean, you are number one at Christmas. We're halfway through the season now. Where do you see Nantwich Town at the moment?
Well, we know there's a few teams that stacked up behind us with games in hand. We're just going to take one game at a time because you've seen the league, anyone can beat anybody on the day. We've got Basford this Saturday. They're a decent team. They're in the mix. So it's going to be another tough game. It's as simple as that. And then we've got the derby on Boxing Day against Stafford. And, you know, we'll see where we are on that. But by all accounts, they're playing a lot better than the position shows. So I'm sure they're going to put them on together.
What's the mood like at Nantwich at the moment? I mean, it must be buzzing, in all fairness.
Well, everybody's happy because, you know, Phil went, as we said, to Altrincham and they're doing really well at the moment. And we didn't have many players left. And last year was one of them, as long as we didn't go down and we were building. But we didn't think we'd be it to come this quickly, to be honest, but we've just got to stay in the mix, and I think they would be disappointed now if we weren't around the playoffs all year, but we'll see where we go.
Now, obviously, at this stage of the season as well, managers are looking at the squad, seeing if they need to tinker around with the starting 11 or strengthen the squad in depth. It's been announced Jaskalainen's staying on for another month. How important is that side of things?
Yeah, I mean, we'll start the season, and to be honest with you, we were loyal to Fabian, who was our keeper last year that got injured. But we felt that we needed a little bit of more pressure around, and it was a position that we'd looked at, and Will had done great for us last year and the start of this season. So it was just a case of, you know, we brought him back and he's done great for us.
Finally then, Dave, obviously, you know, you've already touched upon it, Basford this weekend. I mean, this goes to show you that the calibre of the top end of the table. I mean, Basford aren't even in the playoff positions at the moment. You've got the likes of Buxton and Matlock and Hyde as well, who you played last week, all capable of putting themselves in the mix as well. Very, very competitive, no easy games and all that, but this one is especially tricky this weekend against Basford.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're the leading scorers in the league. They've got some real quality players. We know that we're going to have to be on our best to get 3 points tomorrow, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, Dave Cook, manager at Nantwich Town, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. A happy Christmas to yourselves and everyone at the Dabba Dome, and you keep up the good work. All the best for 2019, and I'll speak to you in a month's time or so when it gets really, really exciting up at the top end.
Cheers, Ben.
Dave Cook there speaking to me on Thursday. We said last week that that was going to be a tough game, that at Hyde, and it was a tough game, but they did it. And that those kind of results there won't do Nantwich Town's title credentials any harm, James.
No, obviously it was John Vagbola's own goal that obviously decided at the end of the game. So again, it was a tough fixture for him to go play, especially this time of year. If the results go the way, they'll be top into the new year as well. So chasing back there, but again, they've got the games played at this moment in time. It's that we're coming down to that age-old question: what would you prefer, points or games on the board?
Well, again, more on that later when we talk about Farsley and Warrington. Obviously, Scarborough didn't play, but Scarborough are sitting in second, heading into this weekend. They've got Farsley Celtic and Warrington breathing down the necks with games in hand as well. Gainsborough, though, Gainsborough missed out on Saturday. A great result this one for Buxton. 2-1 winners against Gainsborough Trinity at the North Elm. A great result that for Buxton. But let's hear the thoughts now of joint manager at Buxton on Thursday. I caught up with Paul Phillips. So, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. We have to start with that result at the weekend at the North Elm. A very, very eventful game, down to 10 men in that one. But taking all the points, you must be dead chuffed with the outcome.
Very much so. It's obviously, we had probably 5 or 6 weeks where we were scratched. Sort of a lot of things went against us team wise and injury wise, where we could put our team out. But over the last couple of weeks, we've sort of got everyone more or less fit, back fit, apart from one or two. And going into Saturday, we looked a different proposition. And even with 10 men, no disrespect to games, I don't really think they ever opened us up. We defended really well. And I think, to be fair, after speaking to their management, they said that we deserved the 3 points and was the better team on the day, which is great credit to the lads.
And a special mention as well. I mean, we always talk about goal scoring on this show and flair and that kind of thing, but we do have to mention the save that Theo Roberts did in that game. I mean, it was, I'd urge everyone to track it down, the footage. Fantastic save.
I can't speak highly enough of the lad. He reminded me of myself. No, sorry, kidding. He's been absolutely brilliant for us. He came in, obviously, not really played much non-league football. He's still learning his trade. He's only a young man. He's a pleasure to have on and off the pitch. And he's been, don't tell John Owen Bernard, but he's been absolutely superb for us. And we thank them too for obviously letting us have him on loan from Chester. And he's done ever so well. And the kid's got a massive, massive future on his hands.
Absolutely. Now, you've touched upon it already, and it's 3 straight wins now in the league, and some great results as well. Following that sticky patch that you had, and you've touched upon it already, but where do you see Buxton now as we head towards this festive period and 2019? Because the playoffs are looming large now. How are you seeing things at Silverlands?
We're doing well. I don't want people to start thinking we've gone to Gainsborough and it's a bit of a shock result. What we want to do and what the chairman's trying to instill in me and Stephen in the football club, we want to go to places like Gainsborough and move up the league and other places, Scarborough and South Shields, and be going there as favourites, because that's how much we think of the lads that we've brought in and how much we think we can do with them lads. But obviously, it's one small step at a time. It's making sure that you keep the players on the pitch that you can. Obviously, Kellum Chippendale coming back in has been a massive plus. But for me, the playoffs, yeah, I think if we win on Saturday, which is another tough game against Warrington, I think we can get back in that top 4 or 5. We still mathematically know that we can win this league. So, like I said at the start, and like I said at every job, until it's mathematically impossible to win the league, then we'll aim for the playoffs. But at the moment in time, let's not count our chickens because it's only been three wins on the bounce, but we're looking at a total different proposition than we was 4 or 5 weeks ago.
And just to finish things off, Paul, you touched on it already, the Warrington Town match this weekend. It was a big game anyway, really, but it's a pivotal game, this one. I mean, how are you shaping up heading into this one?
Yeah, obviously, Cards has done a great job there, and he's got a very good team with a lot of experienced heads and good lads there, and they'll be drilled, and they'll obviously know what we're about. They've done their own work. We're trained tonight, we trained Tuesday, so it's the first time as well in a few weeks that we've been able to train twice in a week. So that gives us a good start anyway. But it'd be an hard game fitness wise. I think only Diego Grimmel is still injured. He may be back such and go for Saturday. Everyone else trained, so we'll be going there with a fully fit squad, and hopefully, if we put a performance in similar to last week, staying with 11 men. Hopefully we can beat Warrington and push on again, but it's not going to be any easy feat. We're going to have to be on our game and make sure that we turn up on the day.
Well, Paul Phillips, joint manager at Buxton, a big thank you for coming on the show throughout 2018. All the best to yourself and Steve and everyone at Buxton for 2019. Have a lovely Christmas and we'll speak to you very soon, my friend.
Thank you. And to you, mate. Thank you very much for having me.
Paul Phillips there joining us on the EvoStick NPL show. And that's precisely what Gainsborough didn't want. Buxton, three straight wins now. They've got a sniff of the playoffs, and in Gainsborough's case, it's not more the merrier. They don't want the likes of Buxton and Matlock sensing blood, do they?
No, again, it's more drop points against teams around them. Buxton are starting to pick up them points against them sort of teams, and that's what's keeping them in this race, especially with some of the results they've had recently too.
Yeah, 4 points the gap now between Buxton in eighth and Gainsborough Trinity in fifth, who are still in the playoff positions heading into this weekend. Just outside the playoffs is South Shields. They beat Stalybridge Celtic by 3-2. No surprises there. It was at Mariners Park. And, South Shields don't get beat at Mariners Park ever. They're a machine at Mariners Park. But South Shields there, with that win, are 1 point behind Gainsborough Trinity, sitting in sixth. South Shields have got 2 games in hand. It's certainly hard to play for up in the North East.
Yeah, they're getting close to scoring the whole year without the only 2 points they've dropped so far would be Ratcliffe. 40
You had to drop it in.
But however, it nearly became Stalybridge Celtic to be the second side. So we took the 90th minute, and Stalybridge apparently were going for it as well. But South Shields again just showed that Josh Giles, who's been all over from this season, he's probably one of their players of the season so far. Last minute kick of the game to make sure they get to keep the 3 points.
Basford United, they're currently in seventh position, obviously in FA Trophy action last weekend. 3 points outside the player positions with a game in hand over Gainsborough. But South Shields have even got a game in hand over Basford. So it's tightening up in the playoff positions. We'll talk about the title race later with Thomas Feeney, because Farsley, Celtic and Warrington and Scarborough and Nantwich are all in a bit of a tussle as well when it comes to the title race. But let's talk about some of the other results. And I'd like to talk about Michelover Sports 1, Grantham Town 3. And in the blink of an eye, Grantham Town have eased, I'm going to suggest, their relegation concerns. With that win, they move 9 points above the relegation zone. And this seems like a good time to welcome back to the show manager at Grantham Town. Here's Richard Thomas. So, Richard, a big thank you for joining us. A fantastic result at the weekend. You must be dead pleased with that one against Michelover.
Yeah, absolutely. The boys have been threatening a couple of decent results, to be fair. They've been playing well. And, keep reminding them it's about a process and keep performing well and things will turn. And it sort of felt like that the last couple of weeks, but, we got to back it up next Saturday. But, yeah, for sure, last weekend, the boys were very good, resilient, despite conceding the equaliser. They showed great character, then kick on again with 20 minutes to go and get the goals we needed. So, really pleased we've done well.
I mean, the crucial thing, I think, looking in, is the fact that, Grantham, last time we spoke, it's been a roller coaster season, and it's given you that buffer, really, because you need time, don't you, to bring in the processes you want, the plays you want, make sure everyone's happy with it all, and you need that buffer that Grantham have now got.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I was aware when I come in what a big job it was. Nigel, the owner, or the chairman, saying to me, I want some help in how we're going to, how to run a football club, really, because it's new to him, and which I understood. And so it's been a lot going on, not just the football team. That's the thing that obviously people won't necessarily recognise and don't give any sort of time or credence to. It's just, got beat, or, they just measure everything on the Saturday minute, the Saturday 90 minutes on the Saturday, where you're trying to sort of get a lot of things right behind the scenes as well as the team. So that's been a big challenge, but an exciting one, and one that I've enjoyed, to be honest. And getting to know the staff have been brilliant. Dennis has been, he's just like club stalwart, he's fantastic, knows everybody locally. He's been really pivotal in some of the strong recruitment we've had. Danny Durkin especially, who's come straight in and started firing goals in. So getting it all right is, and it's sort of prioritising them, which bit needs to focus first. And it is cyclical. Some of it doesn't work without the other part. So it's not a case of just going, get players in. You've got to, like every, no different to any other manager, but you've got to manage the budget immediately and find out what you can and can't do with certain players and who you can use. And I was adamant that I would give them, a couple of weeks each, 2, 3, 4 weeks, to really show what it got. Most people are still around. One or two have decided to leave their own accord. But generally, anyone that wanted to stay is still there. And, you know, we've brought one or two in that have helped us and supported what we're trying to do. So it is a process, and people need to be patient and understand that. But like you say, that little bit of a buffer gives us a bit more time now, and hopefully another few weeks to kick on again and start to compete with teams above us in the table now, not just below us.
And one of those teams above you, and it's only, I mean, it might get lost in the wash, this, because, you know, we talk about Stalybridge Celtic a couple of months ago being bordering the playoffs. They're only 2 points up the road. So, you know, this game this weekend against Stalybridge, it's an important one, isn't it? Because it's not just about your momentum, but it's also signifying what Grantham could do for 2019.
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, people were saying to me, oh, that's a huge game last weekend. And I didn't really see it that way. At times, I don't really see many of them as huge individually. It's, you know, got to get a collective or get on a run. It's how many points you pick up per game, things like that. I know everyone just wants three, but it's not necessarily what you need. If you pick up a point and a half out of three, you're going to be fairly safe and fairly comfortable. Yet, as soon as you start to drop below that, you're going to be under pressure. And 2 points a game, you're going to be competing at the top end of the table. So it's about maintaining some perspective generally. And, you know, people were building up last weekend's game, and I didn't feel it that way. I just felt it's another game we're going to go into and hopefully compete well and believe in what we're doing, and eventually the results will turn. But in sort of having looked at the table, because I wasn't aware that we were in touching distance of them, the fact we can go above them, the fact we can put ourselves, you know, in a decent mid-table position, I think this weekend is bigger than last weekend, personally. Because it will say to the lads, it will explain to the lads where they are. And give them a guide. Regardless of the result, it's the performance. If they can perform well and compete properly, it should give them and maintain that belief they've built themselves over the last 3 or 4 weeks that we're genuinely a side that can compete in the division now. So then the next three games are really similar in that sense. You know, they're within touching distance of us, and then the next two are both like big spending playoff sides. So you. It's another test again. So it's an interesting little period we've got coming up. So we'll see how we fare.
And are you enjoying it as well, Richard? It's a challenging gig you've got, but it comes across on this interview, you know, you are enjoying the challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Enjoying it all.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I just want to be honest, the staff are fantastic. So, you know, I couldn't ask for any more walking in, you know, obviously having experienced it at a different level. It's difficult when you have to inherit staff, or it can be. But you inherit staff here. And they've been fantastic, so supportive. We got on board with the things I've tried to implement and wanted to do. And they've been excellent, so I can't thank them enough. And that's right the way through the club, not just on the management team-wise. It's, you know, right the way through. But the lads, you know, the effort and energy and the application the lads apply every session, I'm grateful to them as well. They're having a real go. And they genuinely want to improve. They genuinely want to do well. So, you know, you're always going to be content to work with players that have got that mindset and that attitude. And that's really all we're looking for in recruitment as well. Decent lads that are hungry to learn and improve and are ready to work their socks off to get there. The rest of it, you know, sometimes they've got it, sometimes they haven't. That's any footballer at any level, so it's not a problem. But yeah, it's been really enjoyable. I've enjoyed it a lot, getting my teeth back into being out on the grass and just, you know, that's where I'm happiest. So it's been good, and that has been, you know, enjoyable. Tough at times, but as long as you've got the tough enough skin and the tough enough mentality to realise it's going to be a process, it's going to take a little bit of time. Hopefully then you get the fruits of the labour out the other side.
Excellent stuff. Well, Richard Thomas, manager at Grantham Town, a big thank you for taking time out your busy day to come on the show. Have a lovely Christmas. You keep up
and
the good work, and all the best 2019, my friend. Richard Thomas there, joining us from Grantham Town. A very good result that, James, for Grantham, not so much for Mickleover.
Yeah, Grantham are finally finding their feet a little bit in the season. First time since new management's coming, Grantham have not gone two games unbeaten at this moment in time against Mickleover, which are six-pointed, in my opinion.
And you'd think as well, with Mickleover dropping points, I mean, I jokingly said a couple of weeks ago on the monthly show, Mickleover are going to finish fourth bottom. You just get that impression, don't you? And that comment said in jest there, has been backed up, basically, because Marine, they had an opportunity to get themselves out of the relegation zone on Saturday. However, they couldn't beat Witton Albion. It finished Marine 2, Witton Albion 3. Witton Albion's playoff race credentials are still there on the table for all to see. And it seems like a good time to welcome back to the show. Here's the manager at Witton Albion. Here's Cal McCauley. So, Cal, a big thank you for joining us. A great win at the weekend against Marine. And the good run continues at Wincham Park for yourselves.
Yeah, I think it's four games unbeaten. Yeah, it was a great win at the end of the day against Marine, because I thought the conditions were really, really poor for both sides. It was rain, wind, freezing, probably experienced the worst day of football since I've been in management. It was really, really bad. But important thing for us was to get a result, and that's what we got then.
It is one of those grounds as well that really does attract the wind. I don't know why. It just does. It's probably the sea, isn't it, or something?
Anyway. I was going to say, maybe because we're on top of the Mersey.
Yeah, and a big open end. Anyway, right, back to this anyway. So, for Witton Albion, as you said, four games unbeaten now, but it's been a good season so far already. Your league position, though, doesn't really do you justice because you've got so many games in hand. And I bet you're fed up of answering these questions for myself and Simo and the like. But where are we in Albion heading into 2019?
Well, to be fair, Ben, I think performances I've been happy with right from the start of the season, right from August, right through now to December, being really happy with performances and the games that we have lost. Yeah, I've threw my hands up and, you know, obviously Stafford and the rest of them have deserved to winners. But we haven't been far away. We've put in some great performances along the way, and obviously, we had a great FA Cup run, a great FA Trophy run, which brought money into the club, which helps small clubs like Witton. But then on the downside, it's hampered us with falling behind on games. But at the end of the day, there's nothing we can do about that. Yeah, you'd settle for that again next year. You want to have a good cup run as long as you can. It's about us trying to get through these games as best we can and try to use the squad as best as we can.
Now, obviously, coming up to this festive period, you're one of the unlucky sides to be playing on the 29th as well as on Boxing Day and this Saturday as well. It's easier said than done, isn't it, to claw these games back. How are you going to juggle the squad over this busy period and into 2019? Because you are going to be playing a fair few games.
I think there's a few games, Ben, on the 29th. You know, I spoke to Farsley, Celtic manager, himself. It didn't suit him, it probably didn't suit us, but there's no way out of it. We've got to try to get games back, and so have they. But like I said, this game's coming thick and fast, and we have to use the squad as best as we can. And we've had a couple of downsides to start of this game's coming up in terms of a couple of injuries to key players. So that's the reason why we've got to juggle it about and keep people fresh.
Now, you have been busy, though, in the transfer market. I'm reading you've made two signings this week. Is that all adding to solidifying what's available to you?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was tough for us because we lost Danny McKenna, and he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks, which is a massive blow because he's been playing ever so well. We just felt, obviously, Will Jones come back against Marine, and we just felt that we were short on the squad and we needed to strengthen it up. And that's why we brought Jordan Cobbley and Jordan Lussi in. Jordan's a midfielder who brings plenty of experience and got a good pedigree of starting at Liverpool and obviously playing for Southport and Salford and end up at Chorley. So we've added him to the squad, and he played against Marine. And the young kid, Jordan Cobbley, he'll come in, he had more firepower up front, and you know, you've got Big Rob and Will Jones up there. So again, like I said, coming over these games, coming thick and fast, we'll get to use the squad.
And you mentioned Rob there. He reached a milestone last week, didn't he? 150 appearances for Witton Albion, and he also got two goals in the game as well. So he's pivotal to this as well.
Yeah, he's brilliant, Ben. He's a great player. He's a great lad. He never ever misses training, games, and you wonder to yourself, can I keep him fresh? He's aging, and we've got to try and look after him. But you know what? He keeps popping up, and he keeps scoring goals, and he keeps answering that. Question for you. So, yeah, long may that continue, and he's a great smashing lad.
Well, Carl, a big thank you for joining us on over this busy festive period. A big thank you as well for coming on the show throughout 2018. All the best of luck to yourself at Hensford this weekend, and a safe journey down there. And, well, a big Merry Christmas to yourself and everyone at Witton Albion, and all the best for 2019.
Thanks, Ben. Have a good one, mate.
So, Carl McCauley joining us there. Witton Albion sitting in 17th position, but 15 points on the playoff positions with four games in hand. So they're involved, let's say, and certainly that win there against Marine is helpful. Elsewhere, let's talk about Stafford Rangers winning in the El Staffico. A big result, this one. Stafford Rangers 4, Hensford Town 1, let's hear from Steve Burr, manager at Stafford Rangers now. So, Steve, a big thank you for joining us. And, well, there's only one place we could start. A superb result at the weekend. How was it for you?
Well, it was a great result. I mean, beating your local rivals, Ensford. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but the fans had clubbed together to cover the shed end, the old shed end that was there when I was playing, and they've sort of redone that, reconstructed it and everything, and the fans have used their hard-earned money to pay for that. So that was absolutely rammed behind the goal, and so it was quite fitting, really, that it was opened. John Downing's wife opened it for the fans on the day, and obviously playing your local rivals, it was good to get a win. So it was a good day all round, to be honest, mate.
I mean, that was on my list of questions to ask you about that shed opening, because it's whenever I've spoken to you or your predecessor, the one thing that's always been apparent about Stafford Rangers is it's a big club, but over recent years, it's obviously had lots of troubles and that kind of thing on the pitch. So now it's on a steady footing. You can do things like this, and it is a case of onwards and upwards for Stafford Rangers.
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, you know, it's a great gesture for the fans to do that. I mean, hey, back to when I was playing, which was a long time ago there, the atmosphere kicking in towards that shed end was tremendous. And obviously, with falling down the leagues over the years, the support drops off. But it's important that, I've come in and I want to try and get those days back again for them. It's tough. We found it tough this season without a shadow of a doubt. But, you know, I think slowly but surely, we will get there and get those sort of days back again that we had on Saturday.
A hat-trick from Jake Charles in the game. And I'm sure you already know this, but Joe Edwards, when I spoke to him last week, he was describing it as the El Stafico. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, yes, that's what they do. Yeah,
I don't know how to put a northern accent on saying that though. I always say El Stafico, which is terribly northern. But yeah, Jake Charles there with a great performance. And how important is it to have a scoreline like that against a local rival to boost morale?
Well, I think, we've been drawing a lot of games over the last few weeks, and we went up to Stalybridge where, a last-minute equaliser from Stalybridge, we come off the pitch, thinking we've lost the game and it feels like a defeat. So, there's been little things, little lapses of concentration where we've been in good positions and good areas of the pitch where we've created lots of chances but just haven't killed teams off. And I think Saturday everything come together nicely and we managed to do that against Ensford. But it was nice that Jake got in amongst the goals for us on Saturday. He works very hard. He's just, as a striker, he should be scoring more goals. But to get a hat-trick Saturday in the way he did was tremendous.
Now, you've made no secret, and you've done it in this interview as well, about where you'd like to see Stafford Rangers. 14 points from the playoffs heading into the festive period. So certainly not beyond all realms of possibility. We've seen some great runs over the years from various sides in the Northern Premier League. This weekend, you're playing Matlock. You've got that match against Nantwich on Boxing Day. These are big games. I mean, how are you shaping up?
Well, we know that Matlock themselves, it just shows you how things can quickly change. They had a horrendous start to the season and were rooted to the bottom of the league. And I think they've gone and won sort of 9 out of their last 12 games and propelled themselves right up there. But I think it's important for us to show those levels of consistency. But I honestly don't think that there's a side in this division that frightened me in any way, shape or form. We went up to South Shields. They were probably the best side I've seen in this division. But I honestly believe that when we can play like we did on Saturday, we can be a match for anybody.
And what's your message to the Stafford Rangers faithful heading into 2019, Steve?
Well, I think like any manager and players, on behalf of the players and all the coaching staff at Stafford, the support's been tremendous. And I'm disappointed that we're not higher than where we should be. But, it does take a little bit of time. It's a brand new squad of players. And, we've had to move one or two out that haven't worked and bring one or two in. And with that, but you want to sort of stop that revolving door if you can, just to get a settled side. And I think, to be honest, I think that was our first unchanged side from two games, Stalybridge and going into the Stafford game. So I think it's important that you get that continuity. But I think the message to the fans, really, we want to create that type of atmosphere by the way we play on the pitch. And then we know that they will play their part like they have done all season, and it's been home and away. The support's been tremendous.
Well, Steve Burt, manager at Stafford Rangers, a big thank you for taking the time to come on the show throughout 2018. You have a lovely festive period and all the best for 2019. And I'll speak to you in the new year, my friend.
Yeah, and all the best to you, Ben. Thanks very much. Have a good Christmas.
Steve Burt joining us on the MPL show. Big result that for Stafford Rangers. They're going to have a bit of a spring in the step after that one, James.
Yeah, crucial one as well. Because again, looking at the last, going over the last couple of results there, there's now a gap starting to show between the bottom four and the lower mid-table pack.
Stafford Rangers, a great result that one. And as you said, James, there is a gap opening up between the rest of the league and the bottom four at the moment. 4 points between Lancaster City in 18th and Michelover Sports in 19th. But a bit further up, and let's finish things off talking about Whitby Town against Matlock Town. Going to the Turnbull and picking up 3 points is exceptional. That's what they did on Saturday. And what does that mean, James? Because to me, that's a brilliant result that for Matlock, and just continues the run of form that they're on.
But again, so on the monthly show, and everyone laughed at me.
Oh, Matlock Town. No one laughed at you. Hang on. Let's not rewrite history. What happened was, you said, I think they could be considered dark horses. I thought that was a bit far-fetched. And look at where Matlock are now, and look where Buxton are. It's great to see from the two Peak District clubs. But Matlock Town still pulling out the results, and that's a great result there, and it seems like a good time to welcome back to the show our dear old friend, here's Dave Frecklington. Dave, a big thank you for joining us. Another fantastic victory on the board. It's going awfully well at Matlock. What's it like heading into the festive period at Matlock Town?
Yeah, just as you say, Ben, you know, the boys can't get enough praise at the moment. You know, the work ethic and, you know, the continuous run of victories that we've had is astonishing, really. You know, we've not really done anything different to when we first came in, apart from you know, scoring a hatful of goals and making sure the other end we're keeping nice and solid. And you know, to bounce back from the South Shields defeat with back to back wins and a County Cup win's been absolutely outstanding off the players.
I mean, I was going to bring up the fact that, you know, you were on this great run and then you did have that bump in the road. I can't remember when South Shields dropped points at Mariners Park. I think it was Radcliffe at some point in the last season. They're really solid at home. So for you boys to bounce back the way that you have done, that shows you've got staying power, I feel.
It is, yeah. I mean, you know, we just had an off. I mean, everything leading up to the South Shields game for us wasn't great. You know, we'd had such good form. I think we're 10 unbeaten, I think it was, leading up to that game. We had the basic game called off because we were in the trophy. We knew that it could harm the momentum if the game was called off, which it was. You know, the weather leading up to the game, it meant we couldn't train, which again wasn't ideal. You know, when we trained Tuesday, Thursday, so we couldn't train. And obviously, South Shields on the back of a trophy exit. Also, it was Jack Farder Day as well, which, you know, you could see the extra incentive, if he ever did need one, was there for everyone to see as well. It was an emotional day for everyone concerned, and we were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was a disappointing day for us, but, you know, we challenged the lads to see if it was a one-off, and at the moment, it seems like it was.
So where are we at the moment then with Matlock, Dave? Because, you know, you've gone to the Turnbull ground last week and you've beaten Whitby Town, which is no mean feat. You know, you've beaten the league leaders already this season as well. It's looking like a very, very competitive playoff race involving not just the sides we've already talked about in the top end of the table, but also, you know, the likes of yourselves and Buxton. So how are you keeping on top of it all?
I know it sounds a little bit boring, to be fair, and a little bit cliched, but, you know, we don't do anything different. We're just a really hard-working team, and, you know, this team needs to be worked, you know, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, and, you know, they enjoy coming in and working hard. We've got a real together group, which has obviously been helped by the run that we've been on. And, you know, people seem to forget we were bottom of the league on the 2nd of October going into the Ferriby game, and I printed off the league table at the time when we went bottom, and you know, I said, this is the last time we'll be bottom of the league, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't think we'll be where we are now, but the lads have took it on board. You know, we've got some real quality in there, and I think the recruitment that we've had at the club's been worthwhile at the moment. And we're all hungry to succeed. You know, we're a little bit ahead of schedule than we thought we'd be. But we're just keeping our feet on the ground, taking, again, another cliche game as it comes. We don't fear anybody. We've gone to the league leaders and beat them 4-1 on their own patch. We've been away to Warrington at the time, we've been at home. We beat them 1-0 away from home. You know, Saturday for me was probably the biggest result of the season because of the weather conditions. The Whitby are a good side. They've honestly had some really good results this year and never an easy place to go. And to be 1-0 down and come back and win convincingly like we did in those conditions shows me that we've got the sight and the teeth for anything that's ahead of us.
Now, this weekend, you've got Stafford Rangers at home. You've already paid tribute in the local paper to the home support. I think you're in the top five average crowds in the NPL Premier Division for this season. It's your boys are presenting some great football and some great results, and that's being repaid in the terraces as well. So it's the old cliche about the 12th man and woman on the terraces. But it's all heading in the right direction at Causeway Lane, it appears.
It is, yeah, and Saturday was brilliant because we had a real big following at Whitby. And I think they're starting to see that, you know, the momentum that we're carrying with us at the moment is quite powerful. And, you know, when I was at Lincoln and Spalding, we both had playoff campaigns. You know, we know that momentum when you're all buying a chip together, you know, is very powerful. And it's a very important thing to have if you want to be successful. So, you know, it was big support at Whitby. You know, we had a lot of people go over there for the weekend, and for them to stand in the rain and the wind, and you know, to witness that performance was really special. So I'm hoping we get a big crowd Saturday at home. It always depends on Derby and Chesterfield being at home or away. And if we can get a win Saturday, you know, it makes a really interesting Christmas and New Year with Buxton and Gainsborough coming up.
Well, Dave, a big thank you for joining us, and a big thank you as well for coming on the show in 2018. It's been great having you on, sharing your thoughts with the listener. Have a lovely Christmas, and we'll speak to you in the new year, my friend.
Yeah, happy Christmas and new year to yourselves, and it's a great show. Keep up the good work.
Dave Frecklinson there, manager at Matlock Town, joining us on this week's MPL show. James, before you go, anything else to add?
No, again, just once more, again, congratulations to all the groundsmen for what they've done this season. We're starting to see a few more fixtures drop away. This is the toughest time of the season, and you're doing a fantastic job just to keep games on at this moment. So all credit where credit's due.
Well, James Hayes, I was going to wish you Merry Christmas, but as we're going to be back next week on Christmas Eve, I'll speak to you. Have a lovely weekend instead, and I'll speak to you on Christmas Eve, pre-recorded. Couple of days earlier.
Yeah, no. Always, mate. Thank you very much.
Big thank you to James Hayes from the Northern Premier League for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to draw our eyes to this weekend's rather festive Saturday afternoon encounters in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. And joining me down the other end of the phone now, we're joined by the welcome return from the other side of the Pennines. Some would say wrong, some would say right. It's Mr. Wright, it's Thomas Fina. Hello, Tom, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. And I've got a Christmas jumper on special for you.
Oh, lovely. Do you want to walk us through it? What is it?
It's got some kind of reindeer design on it. Got it for £3, so don't worry, I've not pushed the boat out too much.
Excellent stuff. Tom, a big thank you for joining us this week. Let's get things underway then and talk about one of the mouth-watering encounters this weekend. Nantwich Town against Basford United, and it's this game's very, very important, isn't it? Because Nantwich Town could have a bit of a knockout blow here for Basford, given the points difference. Or are the games in hand a crucial factor at this stage of the season?
I mean, it's been such a fascinating start. Well, I'm going to say start, but obviously we're halfway there now, aren't we? And you look at Nantwich Town knowing that they will be top at Christmas, whatever, and I think even with the games played, a lot more games than some sides, I think for them that mental boost, that, you know, knowing that going into the 25th of December they will be top of the league whatever happens, that must be a great feeling, you know, considering what's happened, you know, last season especially. But I do think for Basford, I don't think it'd be a knockout blow particularly. I still think, you know, they've got three games in hand on them at the minute. I think you'd still probably need one or two results more to not go their way, but the reality for Basford is they're a team that know how to win after what happened last season. You know, gaining promotion the way they did and the way they've carried that run on. And I think for them, obviously, now it's just going to be a case. They know how important the next few weeks are going to be for them to try and reclaim some of that ground. So, I mean, it is a mouth-watering game, like you said, and it's a crucial one for both teams. But I don't think it's going to be a season-defining one for Basford. But, I mean, for Nantwich, you know, the potential is there that they could be 9 points clear going into Christmas Day, which I think, you know, if you'd have offered that to any fan of them at the start of the season, they'd have taken your hand off.
Absolutely. And chasing them down, though, is Scarborough. And Scarborough this weekend will be travelling to Workington. Workington, I think when it finished 0-0 last week in the first game against Rammer, you kind of knew that it was going to be a tough game back in Lancashire. And Ramsbottom United, a great result there. Workington can now concentrate on the league, to use no cliche. This is a tough game, this one, for Scarborough, because Workington are want to bounce back.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there must be, you know, for Workington, obviously they beat Scarborough a couple of weeks ago in the FA Trophy, so there's certainly something there as well. And looking at the run that Scarborough have been on in the last few games, you know, afraid to say it really, because I always want Scarborough to do well, but obviously there's been a few losses there. And what Scarborough had to me was they had a bit of a cushion, and it was kind of like, I think Steve Kittrick expected that to be maybe a tricky run, but I think it has probably come just a little bit earlier than he expected it to happen, really. So they've played four more games than Farsley Celtic. They've played more games than nearly all the teams in and around the table, apart from Nantwich. So for them, there is this need of having to bounce back, because obviously then they've got South Shields on Boxing Day. So, you know, it doesn't really get any easier. But Workington, it's going to be a real tough game for the Sea Dogs. You know, they're going to a team that have that nous of already beating them this season. And also Workington, like you said, now that focus, all that attention, you know, all the cup competitions they've been in and the games in hand that they've got, obviously, because of those cup competitions, now all their focus can be on the Evostick Premier. And, you know, they know that if they win on Saturday, potentially they could move up a place in the table. And I think four of them, with the changes that they've made behind the scenes recently as well, you know, it is feeling like maybe a season-defining month coming up for Workington, so they want to get it underway in the best way possible.
Now, above Workington, just in the just 3 points up the road, as you said, is Marine. And Marine this weekend, Marine are third bottom. They're taking on the team third top, Farsley Celtic. And as you rightly said, Tom, obviously Farsley Celtic are the ones with the games in hand. It was a very, very gutsy performance last week, wasn't it, against Telford? And no shame in getting knocked out to Telford United, as me and Lee know, they're a very, very good side. But it'd be interesting to see how Farsley bounce back this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think what you've got to take from that result for Farsley was the reality is they're facing a team who at the end of the season will be there or thereabouts in the National League North playoffs. And to take them all the way, you know, really was a tough game for them. And some of the key performances, you know, Nathan Cartman showing the quality he has getting a goal. And I think what you've got with Farsley is there are certain results where you look at it and you think that really could damage the team. That could really be a confidence blow. But I think for Farsley, the way they lost has to be a massive boost for them, because, you know, I think there is a certain amount of confidence within that Farsley dressing room that they know the quality that they've got and they know how well they're doing. So to be able to face Telford, and like you said, a team me and you know, they're a very good side, and to put in that performance and to be so near to, you know, forcing it into a replay, they'll have taken a lot from that result. And they're another team, though, where maybe the focus and the attention, despite where they are in the league, obviously, they've had to have their eye on more than one prize. Now all that focus can go back to the league. And really, you look at what they've got in games in hand on Nantwich, it's 5 games and they're only 7 points off them. So, you know, really, Farsley have every right to think that sooner rather than later, they'll be top of the league.
Do we think that, I know Nantwich are going to be Christmas number one this weekend, but do we think as well that the title race, you can't really rule out, as you said, you can't rule out Farsley, but you can't rule out Warrington as well, because Warrington, same number of points as Farsley, admittedly they have played a game more, but Warrington, I think, have one of the toughest games of the weekend. They're taking on Buxton, a resurgent Buxton as well, who have started to sniff out the playoffs and have moved themselves into it. So this is a tough game, the Sir Paul Carden side.
Look, this is the kind of game, you know, the last week for Buxton, that win against Gainsborough, I think where they've gone from is probably a team where you'd say you know, they'll be challenging for the playoffs, but to beat Gainsborough the way they did, you know, such a gutsy performance and real show of quality as well. I think that's probably one of them where a neutral like myself with that is probably looking at Buxton thinking, do you know what, they're in with a real shout now, because they've shown what they can do against a team like Gainsborough. They know if they play like that against Warrington, that they've got a chance of getting something. So I think it is, you know, I think nearly every game really in this league is fascinating because there's so many battles going into this Christmas period. But I think what you've got to look at with Buxton is they've had a really good week. And if they can build that momentum, you know, build it forward and go into the new year with, you know, maybe a place or two up the table as well, definitely they're in with a shout at the playoffs.
I think Buxton have turned into a bit of a poster boy for the mid-table pack, because essentially, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Buxton consolidating in mid-table, really. Three wins later, and they are breathing down the necks of the likes of Basford and South Shields and Gainsborough. It's quite remarkable. So one of those teams who'll be looking at Buxton's example is Whitby Town. And Whitby Town this weekend are hosting the aforementioned Gainsborough Trinity. And Gainsborough will want to bounce back, but there's easier places to go to than the Turnbull to do that.
Definitely. You know, I when I look at Whitby, I know when they get it right, when Chris Hardy's side get it right, they play some fantastic football. And with the quality that they've got, especially in the final third, they're a team where if you do play them on a good day, you know, you're going to have a problem because of what quality they've got in that dressing room. And I think for Gainsborough, you know, Lee Sinnott would have been, I think it had been frustration the way that they lost that game against Buxton, and, you know, really knowing that they've got to try and, you know, end that little run, you know, obviously where they've had that loss against Buxton. What you don't want is to then be losing two in a row and to be dropping down the table. Potentially they could drop out the playoffs on Saturday if results elsewhere go against them, alongside them also not getting a result. So I think for Lee Sinnott, he knows that that group of players can go on a run, and he knows that that group of players, the expectation level there obviously is that they will be in them playoff places, maybe challenging for top spot by the end of it. So I think there's a real feeling within that Gainsborough dressing room of just how important that Whitby game will be, because if they lose that, you're going into then the Christmas period, the post-Christmas period, I suppose they'll call it, and all of a sudden you're out the playoff places, you're chasing again. And I think for Gainsborough, they're one of these teams, they want to be a front runner. They don't want to be, you know, in that pack. They want to be, you know, a few points ahead, because they know that they've got the players and the experience in the dressing room to handle that pressure.
And it's like we were saying earlier, the last thing Gainsborough want, I mean, it's bad enough that you've got the likes of Basford and South Shields breathing down your neck just outside the playoffs, but you don't want to be encouraging the likes of Buxton and Matlock and Whitby to suddenly jump on you and add to that level of free-for-all, essentially, in those playoff spots. You don't really want that, do you? And I mentioned South Shields there. South Shields this weekend will be travelling to the Giant Axe to take on Lancaster City. Didn't really work out for them last week in the FA Trophy at home to Blyth Spartans. It was always going to be a tough game. I think Lancaster played Blyth Spartans about 2 months too late, I think.
Yeah, I mean, what I will say is I watched Lancaster play, obviously playing Guiseley home and away, and I thought they were fantastic. I really did. And, you know, Guiseley in that first game should have lost, and in the second game, Lancaster were by far the better team. And, you know, it was interesting speaking to people from Lancaster after the game and kind of how they feel that momentum is now with them. I think, like you said, the Blyth Spartans game was always going to be tough because Blyth Spartans are a team that have just picked up their form and picked up that momentum. And for Lancaster, with the red cards as well, it kind of probably one of them results that you write off. But if they can take them Guiseley performances into the league games, as they have done previously, I don't see them having any problem really at the end of the season. I see them climbing the table and being quite comfortable in doing so. So again, you know, we're in this position now where the trophy competition, a lot of the sides are now out of it, and all that focus and attention, there's no distractions now. There's no, you know, whether or not they've got a game coming up in the trophy. They can all just focus on this league. And I think it will make it even more interesting and exciting, because it's probably been one or two players where self-consciously they're thinking to themselves, yo, I don't want to miss a trophy game. You know, I don't want to miss facing a National League side. Now there's none of that. They know that they can all kind of go in hell for leather.
And let's talk about one of the other teams who are just outside the playoff pitch at the moment, Matlock Town. Matlock Town this weekend. We'll be hosting Stafford Rangers. Stafford Rangers got a brilliant result against Hensford in the Staffordshire Derby. El Staffico against Hensford at the weekend, 4-1. And that will add a spring to Steve Burr's step heading into this important game. But Matlock have been banging form recently.
You know, I'm going to say this now, my prediction, I'm not going to sit on the fence here with this one, but I don't think it's that bold a prediction. I think Matlock will definitely be in the playoffs at the end of the season. Because
wow.
you look at the work Dave Freckland. I mean, now I've said this, this could be a 10-game losing run. And I'll you know, it's happened before, it could happen again. But I think you look at the work Dave Frecklington's done in terms of kind of uniting a dressing room, you know, bringing in a few of his trusted lieutenants, knowing exactly what he wanted to get from this group, and to go from, you know, let's say Sacks being on a terrible run to being now, you know, ninth in the table, only, you know, two good results away, really, from them playoff places. I think you've got to give Dave Frecklington all the credit in the world for what he's done. And I just, you know, obviously seeing the highlights and seeing just certain aspects of the play, I really do think this is one of those runs where, fine, OK, they will drop points. They're going to lose games. They're going to draw games. But they're definitely going to win a lot more than they draw or lose. And I do think that they're going to be that team that sneak into the playoffs by the end of it, because they've got a really good squad with a really good manager as well. And I think the attitude and the mentality of the players is something that you have to applaud, because some players would, in the position they were in, they may be going to the shell a little bit and feel sorry for themselves, but fair play, you know, they've just come out fighting and they picked up really good points against some of the sides near the top of the table as well. So that's going to be my prediction. I think Matlock will be in there by the end of it, and really, I think they'll do it quite comfortably as well, just because of all the quality they've got.
Well, picking up 3 points at Whitby last weekend is no mean feat, really, to be fair to Matlock. But bold predictions there from Thomas Fina. Let's talk about another team who, even though they're in 17th, you just look at them and you go, I wouldn't put it past them. And we said it on the monthly show a couple of weeks ago, Witton Albion, they got another 3 points last weekend away at Marine. This weekend, they'll be travelling to Keys Park to take on Hensford Town this weekend. Hensford Town, it's a rebuilding job essentially now, isn't it? So it's still a tough game for Witton Albion.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, obviously with what's happened at Hensford, they're in a position now where it's probably going to be a bit of consolidation, you know, just ensuring that everything can be ready maybe to kick on next season. But again, with Witton, and this is where the table is so deceiving, because you'd look at where they are, 17th, you'd think, well, you know, they've no chance. But then you look at it and you think, hang on, you know, they've got 5 games in hand on quite a few of the teams above them. And again, they're picking up the results just about now, you know, really big win last week. And all of a sudden you're thinking, if they beat Hensford, they'll go level on points with them and they'll have played 5 games less and they'll have games in hand on, I think it's every team above them. I think I'm right in saying
you
that.
Are Witton right. Are the you team are right, yes.
Played. I think it's Witton and Workington have played 17 and everyone else has played, you know, 18 or more. So all of a sudden, you know, them games in hand, you know, I don't know when they're going to be played, obviously, because they'll still have a few games in hand, even when they played one or two of them. But this is where in probably March time, you're looking and thinking, you know, if they can be, I don't know, 10 points or so off the playoffs with 2 games in hand, all of a sudden they win them 2 games, you know, they're putting a lot of pressure on maybe that team, you know, they're in that final playoff place and knowing they'll have to pick results up. So again, I don't want to rule anyone out of anything right now because of, you know, the way that this league can go. But if Witton can just have a really good couple of weeks, you know, 3 or 4 big results, and all of a sudden you would be looking at them and thinking, you know what, they've got a chance.
Let's talk about the relegation pitch. Obviously, we've talked about Marine's fixtures this weekend. Marine hosting Farsley Celtic, Workington hosting Scarborough Athletic. Very tough games, those ones, for the teams currently in the relegation positions. A great result for Grantham Town. We heard from them earlier, beating Micklethwaite Sports in that relegation 6-pointer by 3-1 last Saturday. Eases the pressure somewhat for Grantham Town. This weekend, Grantham Town will be taking on Stalybridge Celtic in what's now become, thanks to that win against Micklethwaite, a bit of a mid-table ding-dong, which is perfect for Grantham. But below them, we've got Hyde United against North Ferriby United. And we've got Micklethwaite Sports against Bamber Bridge. Firstly, Northferby United, because it is looking a bit bleak at the moment for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's for the Villagers. You're looking at that result they picked up against Grantham and you were thinking, could this be the start of a run? You know, could they just start to pick the momentum up? But again, you're then facing Lancaster City, who I know full well are a good team, you know. And then you're facing Warrington and you're thinking, you know, that were 4-0. And then they've got Hyde United to do, are another team where they're certainly looking up rather than down. And you're just looking at Northferby and there is this feeling of, where are the points going to come from? You know, where are the results going to come from? Because Paul Foote's come in, he's obviously been able to bring in one or two players he knows. They've obviously lost a few as well. And just for Northferby, it's a real kind of this siege mentality. I think that's how they're going to have to do it. Obviously, with other issues, you know, off the pitch as well, for their fans and everything. I think it is just this thing of kind of us against the world mentality. And if they can use that and if they can manipulate that, then hopefully they can pick up some results, you know. Because I've got to say, with Northferby, you know, I covered them quite in depth for a few years and I absolutely loved going to the stadium. You know, there were some real great people there and it really does break my heart a bit, you know, to see the position they're in, to think, you know, not that long ago they were a National League side, you know, they were beating the likes of, you know, I'm trying to think of results, they're going to Gateshead and winning, you know, beating, I think they beat Forest Green Rovers in that season, and to look at where they are right now, it really is tough. So I think for them, again, you know, you're looking at Hyde United, Hensford Town, South Shields, Marine, Whitby Town, you know, I think they're the next five games they've got. And the reality is they need to pick up quite a few points from them games if they don't want to be cut adrift, because you're then looking at, you know, teams like Michelover Sports, who I think they've got a game in hand on Northferby and they're about 7 or 8 points clear. If they can pick up one or two results, all of a sudden, you know, you would be thinking that that gap is certainly going to widen. So it's going to be a tough few weeks for Northferby, but I hope they can get the results. And as for Michelover Sports, I really do think that loss in last week was quite a big one. You know, I feel that it's probably pushed Grantham away, really. You'd say that they're now in that mid-table, you know, security net. And for Michelover, they'll want to be there. They know they've got to get a couple of results sooner rather than later, or all of a sudden you're probably looking at it being Michelover Sports, Marine, Workington, yeah, and Northferby United as them four sides that are kind of fighting it amongst themselves to try and break free.
Well, it's going to be a very, very interesting period, that's for sure. And it's been an interesting season, to be fair. It's been very, very exciting, both up at the top and down towards the bottom end. And, well, Thomas, before you go, a big Merry Christmas to you. A big thanks for coming on. Much appreciated.
Thanks to you.
Have a very, very prosperous new year. But just before you go, it would be rude of me not to allow you to have free rein and to plug away in and all the great work that you do covering non-league football.
I'll make it easy for you. Just give me a follow on Twitter. That's @ThomasFeeney. And don't worry, if you don't like the stuff, you can always block me. I know a few that probably want to, but there you go. It will be very Yorkshire heavy, I'll warn you. But as we all know, Yorkshire is God's own county.
And you know what? I'm not even going to edit that out. You see how nice I am?
I thought you were going
to. Tom, big thanks, mate. Have a lovely Christmas, my friend. I'll speak to you in the new year. And a big thank you to Thomas Feeney for joining us on this week's Evo Stick NPL show. And for those people who've been getting in touch with us throughout this show, listening in, going, Christmas Day isn't on Wednesday. Yes, we're wrong. You're right. Christmas is indeed on Tuesday, the 25th. Of December. Therefore, look out for a brand new Evo Stick NPL show on Christmas Eve, Monday the 24th. We'll have one pre-recorded for you all to enjoy with your Christmas dinner next week. A big thank you, not just to Thomas Feeney, but to all my guests this week for joining me, especially James Hayes as well. But that's the end for this week's Evo Stick NPL show. For all the latest news and goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's @NPL Show. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye bye.
With over 500 high performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.